All right. It is Thursday, November 13th. Welcome back to Damon Bruce Plus. Awesome to have you here. Thank you for coming back. It is a very rainy day here in the Bay Area. I dropped off the boys this morning, was in and out of the car during rainstorms. I got the Pajemski going on up here. I'm frizzy today. It is a poofy hair frizzy day because of the rain here in the Bay Area. But it's great to have you here. Thank you so much. I think we got a good one for you this afternoon. Cheers. We'll begin with some good news for the 49ers. How many shows have we done together where that's the opening statement? We have good news for the San Francisco 49ers. Are you sitting down? I hope so. Hold on. This offense might be getting healthier in time for its very important four-game stretch here against winnable teams. For the first time all year, the 49ers are going to have the healthier offense in a football game. Against the Arizona Cardinals, they will definitely be the healthier team, and that's whether or not Brock Purdy plays. There's an awful lot of momentum to Brock Purdy playing this weekend. And look, Brock and Ricky Pearsall returning, that alone should light a little bit of a fire underneath an offense that is going to have to carry the load. Like, it's not enough to just put up, 350 yards of offense like you kind of always do. You're going to have to get it done in the red zone. You're going to have to support this bend, don't break defense, a concept that they're officially married to now for the rest of the year, with points. So a better offense right now, give it to me as quickly as you can, San Francisco 49ers. And I think that Brock Purdy, Ricky Pearsall coming back certainly helps them. Now, Alfred Collins and D. Winters having limited reps in practice on Wednesday, also good news. They weren't able to go last week, so we'll see if they're able to go. A little bit healthier defense, Ricky Pearsall back on offense, and maybe Brock Purdy. Okay, let's see what this looks like. Now, to me, Mac Jones has given you a very, very rare luxury to cash in on here. And that's more time. Now, it's not often where you can honestly say, and this isn't a slight to the quality of play that you get from the starter, it's a compliment to the backup. You're getting starting quality quarterback play out of Mac Jones. And if time helps this injury heal, how is more time not the right prescription to fix it? It's been an awful lot of time, though, since we've seen, Brock. It was six games. It's been a long time since we've seen him. I've seen one person bring up the fact that if you do this, you're risking quarterback play, you're risking quarterback controversy, and you're risking about stalling the momentum of Mac Jones. I'm not here to buy that. I'm not saying it's a bad point even. That universe does exist, but I don't think it's the universe that the Niners quarterback room lives in. I really don't. Momentum really isn't how I'd describe anything yet. A lack of momentum week to week is sort of, I think, the 49ers problem. So it's, look, Mac has done an incredible job here. There's no denying that. But it is Brock Purdy's team. And the player plays when the player's ready to play. The nice thing is, Mac did such a good job. If, as soon as Brock Purdy gets back out there, they just see, still not where it needs to be. Just not in rhythm yet. Not exactly the right guy for the job the day that we're playing right now. What do we do? I think that's when you go back to Mac. Well, if you do that, you're going to have a quarterback controversy. Here's the good news. You're going to have a quarterback controversy no matter what. And the minute Brock has an incomplete pass, the minute Brock turns the ball over once or is sacked or throws an interception, the calls for Mac is better are going to be universal. I mean, it's coming anyways, whether it deserves to come or not, it's going to happen. So don't even worry about that. The blowback, the reaction from fans, the crowd, the media, if you're the 49ers, you don't worry about that at all. Look, if Purdy is damaged goods, then you got an issue that is much bigger than a quarterback controversy. What I do know is that you got a really good quarterback in Brock Purdy. You got a really good quarterback in Mac Jones. And if there really were to be like a tug of the rope for this team's soul, because we can't decide which one of these guys is better, well, you finish swimming through the season, however. And here's the deal. Neither one of these guys is in a different situation next year. And you bring them into training camp and you say, guys, we got a quarterback competition. May the best man win. And you let actual football sort this out. And then if Mac wins, we can talk about the investment that was made in Purdy and blah, blah, blah. And there'll be a lot of picking that scab once again. But I, honestly, I don't care. And whatever you think you're getting away with paying Mac Jones, had Mac Jones done what Brock Purdy had done, he would be making Brock Purdy money. And he would be the guy that you're saying, why? Well, why did we give it to this guy if Brock can come in on a rookie deal and give us a similar production? You know, there's just not any pleasing some of you, and I'm sure of that. Both these guys are back next year. Quarterback controversy could turn into an actual legitimate preseason quarterback battle. Cross that bridge when you get there. Maybe Brock Purdy comes back in, reminds us all that on his business card, it says, I'm the man, and that's it. And that's it. And Mac Jones is, you know, officially, you know, a warm memory of a guy who was asked to do a tough job, and he came in and he did it. And in sports, you got to respect that. Stalling Mac momentum, as if Mac Jones's momentum is the goal of this franchise. It's not. He's done great, and he should be treated with the utmost care and respect. But I'm not here for anybody's feelings. The guy that you just gave a massive contract to, the guy that has been to the Super Bowl, the guy that was in the NFC Championship game, the guy who's won an awful lot, deserves the chance to come on back from an injury. This is not Alex Smith, where, you know, like, hey, man, you got replaced by Colin Kaepernick because Colin Kaepernick showed us the future. It's not quite that. Can we not have a quarterback controversy? Can we not see Brock Purdy make a mistake and have a full-on meltdown in the fan base? That's probably too much of a request, isn't it? It's probably a little bit too much for me to ask of that. This is a launching pad for a QB controversy. People are going to try to speak it into existence. I'm here to tell you, there isn't one. There's not one yet. People are trying to say that there's one right now. No, there isn't. No, there isn't, because there's only one healthy quarterback playing well right now. Brock Purdy, he comes back. He does that. It'll be his job. Brock, the only way there's a quarterback controversy is Brock Purdy comes on back and plays legitimately poorly. And then to me, there's really no controversy. What you do is you say, well, Brock, you're clearly a little rusty, or you're clearly just not ready to go because of this turf toe. So we're going to go back to Mac the rest of the way. This is not an indictment on the future of the franchise. We have not replaced one cornerstone quarterback with another. It's just this year. This is all happening in the vacuum of now. So we'll worry about then later. And I think that's the right way to go. I think that's the right way to go. Not only are the 49ers, if Ricky Pearsall is back, if Brock is back, not only are they a little bit healthier on offense, I'm telling you, you know, you never want to take an easy way around an opponent if you're a competitor. You don't want to see their best player not going. But for Arizona, there's a little bit of a gift injury, not even a gift injury. It's gift appendicitis that is taking Marvin Harrison Jr. out on Sunday. Marvin Harrison Jr. Has, you know, been on Earth all these years. He's been on Earth, but it is this week that his appendix burst. So he's gone into, or is going into, surgery, and he will not be playing because of surgery for appendicitis. This is 34 catches, 525 yards, and four touchdowns. This is a good player. This is a threat that is now unavailable to a team that, like I said, might be the first offense that's actually in worse shape from an injury availability standpoint than the 49ers. The Cardinals had a wave of injuries at receiver over the past week. They lost Zay Jones to an Achilles tendon. Simi Fehiko, he is out with an arm. And both of them got put on injured reserve. Here are your Arizona wide receivers. And you want to play the obscure wide receiver game? Because look, the 49ers were doing that earlier this year. It was, you know, Kendrick Bourne and Marquez Valdez-Scantling are your wide receivers. And good luck with that. Arizona this weekend is going with Michael Wilson, who's what, I think in his third or fourth year. He was a Stanford guy. Greg Dortch and Xavier Weaver are your X, Y, and Z wide receivers for the Cardinals this weekend. I would much rather play the Cardinals with Michael Wilson running those WR1 routes than Marvin Harrison Jr. There's no doubt about it. So the 49ers don't need to apologize for any break that they're going to catch, and they have caught one thanks to appendicitis in Marvin Harrison Jr. It is good to have you here. Thanks so much for coming on by today. Seriously, you know, it's a rainy day. It's a day that people don't even want to go out to lunch. If you've come into an office today, get lunch delivered to you. If you are your office manager, if you're the person who makes these decisions, our good friend Michelle Haberman, In a job that she had, was the office manager. She got to order Ike's. And look how famous Michelle is now. World famous because of that. If you order Ike's for your office, you're going to have a happy, happy group of lunchtimers. Check out Ike's Catering. Check out my man who's got something absolutely delicious for you, and sign up for that Love Rewards program. If you are in a delivery distance, get yourself Ike's delivered to you on this rainy day here in the Bay Area. Get it done. Hey, maybe drink the rain away and the pain away at the Dubliner. I don't even have to put the logo up. I am the logo today. I'm rocking my Dubliner tee. Dubliner West Portal. There's a great place to pop into on a rainy day. Maybe a place to go watch the Sharks tonight. Yeah, we're going to talk a little Sharks hockey just a little bit before we're done here today. Place to go watch the Sharks. Maybe a little college basketball. Warriors are off tonight after a big win in San Antonio that really was hard to predict. I'll tell you, as long as Steph Curry is going for 46, the Warriors are going to have a puncher's chance. But they needed to get off the deck and win a game that they weren't supposed to here on this road trip. And they did after getting embarrassed the night before in Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City is in the business of embarrassing NBA teams right now. But look, we have got a few good reasons to pop on into the Dubliner. West Portal, best Guinness in San Francisco. Kenny and John are two of the best bartenders you're ever going to meet in your life. It's just a great crowd, and it's a great place to go watch a game. The volume is right. The lighting is right. The TVs are where you need them to be. It's not a sports bar. It's not a douchebag bar. It's just a Dubliner West Portal, man. Check it out. It's a great, great place to go. And I'm telling you, we've got our good friends over at Sleeper giving you a chance to sign up for the biggest, fastest-growing fantasy app out there. Props that you can build yourself and build them out. It is really fantastic. The user interface is great, and you can get a $100 deposit match up to $100 when you use code Damon, and do so using the link at the very top of the description of this live stream that you're watching right now. So thanks very, very much to Sleeper. Thank you to the Dubliner West Portal. Thank you to Ike's, and thanks to all of you for being here once again. Your support is phenomenal. Hit like and subscribe. It's just that like button's going to push this show out on that YouTube algorithm. And if you hit that subscribe button, it means you will come back. You hit that notify button, man, now you're going to go ahead and know whenever we post a new video. We're doing a live show, so thank you very much. Kruger and I will be back, of course, Fridays, as always, before the Niners play, with a wake up at 9 a.m. West Coast time. We'll be going live at 11 again for a normal Friday show. And I can tell you right now, Sammy's not going to be able to join us. Sammy's busy this week. We tried to move his appearance on Friday to today. He couldn't do it. God bless Sammy. I love that he's busy now. He's got his NHL Kings post-game career getting carved out for him down in L.A. I love it, man. I really do. I'm so happy for him. I love watching my friends succeed. I love watching my friends catch wins. I really do. It's the best. It's the best. You know, there's what I think I know about sports. Pretty decent amount. There's what I think you know about sports. Pretty decent amount. Again, you're here every day. If you didn't know more about sports than the people you talk sports with, I'm not doing my job. So I'm glad that you have become an incredibly interesting, educated sports crowd. You are my kind of people through and through and through and through. Oh, by the way, we got a super here from San Bruno Mike who says Brock's wallet still has bad motherfucker on it. Yeah, I mean, it does. It absolutely does. And I'm excited to see him get back. At the same time, I don't think I would have played him to the bye week. I really don't. But the Niners are clearly not taking my advice on how to get through weeks without injuries in practice. They're not taking my advice on who to draft or who to sign as a free agent. So they're probably not taking my advice on this one either. And at the same time, as much as I'm encouraging caution, if you're telling me the player's ready to go, then the player plays. That is how this works. We'll see. Oh, by the way, I just see Jamie here. I don't know where this came from, but he says, the house of prime rib is on my bucket list. So all things usually on bucket lists are hard to achieve, hard to come by, very expensive. Get yourself to the house of prime rib, brother. You're going to be loved. It's great. Get to the house of prime rib, Jamie. You want to talk about bringing them in as a friggin' sponsor? How do I get the House of Prime Rib to sponsor us over here? House of Prime Rib's fantastic. King cut, cream spinach, baked potato. Done. And of course, you get the salad with it. The best. There's what I think I know about sports. There's what you think we know about sports. There's what we collectively know about sports. There's the people, the civilians. That's all of us. And by the way, when I say civilians, I include the media in that too. All right. You know, Tim Kawakami is definitely an insider. He's a very smart sports thinker. He couldn't sit down talking football for 3 minutes with Kyle Shanahan. Not three, he wouldn't last 3 minutes if Kyle started quizzing him on what is this? What is this? What is this? I wouldn't either. None of you would. They speak football in a way that is a secondary language compared to the way you and I talk about it. So, you know, we can say Kyle's getting a little predictable. The league is getting on to Kyle. Teams in his division have become familiar with him, therefore it doesn't click quite like it used to. And there's us offering that with what we think is our own two eyes evidence to suggest it might be true. Maybe the league is catching up to Kyle just a little bit. Well, I thought this was pretty interesting. Arizona Cardinal defensive coordinator Nick Rallis was asked, since you are a 49er division opponent, have you learned more about how to stop the 49ers now that you've become familiar with Kyle Shanahan and what he does and how he does it? And I just thought that this answer was pretty illuminating. Again, these people know football in a way that we'll never be able to understand it, truly. So here is the Arizona Cardinals defensive coordinator talking about preparing for Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers and the word easy do not appear in the same sentence. I think this is interesting, and I think you will too.
I mean, yes and no. Like, first matchup, sixth matchup since I've been here, you know. No matter what, it's hard to prepare for. I actually just left the meeting with the coaches, kind of going through some things that are difficult. And I said, keep watching and let me know what you guys figure out here. Like, make sure it's simple, you know, because it's difficult. Like, the way he can – it's the run and the pass game. On how he can game plan it, number one, to get them in an advantage positions, but then, two, to dress it up. You know, I think the advantage of playing them before is I don't even know where we would be looking at that for the first time. It would be harder. But no matter what, it's hard every week. I always joke with the coaches, like, I like kind of, you know, staying ahead of schedule. As soon as San Fran week hits, you're behind schedule. Just because it takes you so long to work through what they do. You know, credit to them. Like, it's really good. It's really good.
And look, the Arizona Cardinals are great at playing the 49ers tough. No matter what position their season is in, who's available, what kind of year they're having, the Cardinals are always a headache for the 49ers. But listen to what he said right there. I thought it was interesting where he said, the only advantage of having coached against Shanahan six times is that you don't have to start from scratch. How do you even start from scratch preparing for this team? So it's like, at least I got a little working knowledge, but it doesn't really help. I thought that that was really interesting to hear him talk about how Shanahan is just really good at this and how you are born behind schedule. You are behind schedule the minute the Niners hit your schedule. You're behind schedule. That's a testament to how hard they are to prepare for and how good Kyle really is at this. You know, there's no way that Nick Rallis gave that answer so he could make a more interesting segment for, you know, for 49ers fans to watch. He's talking to the Arizona media right there. He's not doing any carrying of water on behalf of the 49ers for the Bay Area media. He's giving an honest answer there. And I think that in that honesty, it really shows you that even with all the problems that seem to be ever present, that seem to be almost dialed up by Shanahan and Lynch themselves with their poor drafting and all this, even with it all sort of pointed in the wrong direction, the 49ers are still very much pointed in the right direction. Again, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills, and a lot of you do as well, and I get it. So I thought that that was pretty darn interesting, and I wanted to share it with you. Like and subscribe, my friends. By the way, we got a tiny audience in here today. It was a big Thursday meeting day at work. I'm sure everyone will be catching this on the replays, but it's a tiny audience, a smaller audience than usual. So it's great to have you if you're in here. You're one of the OGs at this point, so thank you. Let me tell you, there is something that I saw today that made me go, yeah, I bet they do want that, don't they? Yeah, Smiley Dan. It's a rain delay audience. I figured the rain would give me a captive audience. I figured we'd have more people in here. Seriously, there's so much rain delay going on right now. I feel like I should be doing Japanese Vin Scully like John Miller would go into. Udamashite, Otani. Anyway, one more NFL story. This is an interesting one, kind of brewing and getting kicked around today. Just saw this pop about an hour ago. NFL teams want the union to stop with these public report cards. I bet you do. I bet you do. How about this? I'll even take it a step further. I'll bet you the NFL teams being lambasted with bad grades and reviews from players themselves going public are even more interested in this stopping than the teams getting the good reviews. All I can tell you is that I saw somebody say, well, you know, the NFL really does have a closed loop, and you could get these teams to improve if all of this was shared internally, or, you know, a picking and choosing of what is actually shared to the media. But this feels like it's a chance more to have sour grapes and a gotcha segment that makes teams look bad than it's really doing any good. Yeah. Yeah. That's the point, because clearly there's no amount of internal feedback that has ever changed the New York Jets, who have sucked for going on like 60 years. And, you know, the Tennessee Titans, no one even talks about them enough to be heard from unless they appear in this interview. And the Dolphins and all of these bad teams, I'm sure, have owners who want to see their names out of the press. Public shaming works. Okay, public shaming works. And if there's one thing I do know, is that no one will ever be equipped to properly cover themselves. And when it comes to this league claiming that report, so the story says, The league claims the report cards, which poll players on various aspects of working conditions, violate a CBA clause that says NFL owners and the union must, quote, use reasonable efforts to curtail public comments by club personnel or players which express criticism of any club, its coaches, or the operation and policy. In other words, we have a non-disclosure agreement, basically, clause here, where you can't go public with the terrible charlatans getting away with murder year after year. Don't make us look bad. Don't make your shitty owner look bad is what the clause should read. What is this clause? This is the don't step on my shitty owner's toes publicly. That's what this is. So if I am the NFLPA, I am immediately using this to my advantage. And because now I know. So, by the way, what you never want to tell a bully is what really makes you feel like you're getting bullied, because they'll double down on that, right? Like if you said, man, nothing makes me feel worse than you calling me Jughead. Well, guess what? Your new nickname is Jughead now, and no one's ever going to call you anything. You don't expose your weak spot. The NFL just exposed its weak spot to the NFLPA. This really annoys us. This really bothers us. This really embarrasses us. Stop, please. I wouldn't. If I were the NFLPA, I would come on and say, you will never see a public report card again. We want universal health care for anyone who plays a snap. I'm not saying that Mrs. Football Player and the children need to be guaranteed lifetime medical care, but you, as the football player who played football professionally, you deserve lifetime medical care. I would insist upon that and say you will never see another Republic report card again. There you go. That's my negotiating point. Oh, by the way, if you reject it, thicker report cards are coming. Seriously, that's what I would do. And the NFL owners, again, would never do that. They just wouldn't. They wouldn't. It would cost them too much money. They'd rather hoard their money and have everybody who played football die painfully than lay anybody down to rest easily who played football. I mean, seriously, these owners look at these players as nothing more than human cadavers to profit off of. And I can prove that to you by the fact you don't go ahead and guarantee health care for players in your league as they age, as they shave years of their lives off to play football. Couple more supers have popped in today. Quarterback controversy. Do guys remember Montana and Young? Here's the thing, Steve. No, they don't. The amount of people who claim to be, now I cover the 49ers, more of them have never even seen Steve Young or Joe Montana play than have. Like the graybeards, the older guys who actually know what they're talking about, have you not seen them pushed out of the room, replaced by a whole bunch of 20-somethings who think that Colin Kaepernick was their favorite Niner quarterback ever? I mean, that's the thing. Perspective and real knowledge and history of the league is lost on a lot of people that you get your information from because they weren't around and they think that football begins in their lifetime. Barry Ford says, by the way, your hair's looking nice and curly. I'm seriously, I got like the Pajemski going on up here today. Hoping Brock and Ricky are actually ready to come back this weekend. If they get hurt again, we are screwed. Barry, thank you so much for the super. And all I can tell you is that I'm not even worrying about injuries anymore. Injuries for everybody. I'm not going to worry about it. It's like the dead cap space. If they're not going to worry about it, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm all done worrying about who's hurt today. Just go play. It doesn't really seem to matter who plays offensively. Now you're going to have to score some more points here, but that's it. That's it. I'm looking at the same offense, basically. Let's see. A couple of NBA things to let you know about here today. Like I told you, the Warriors should win a lot of games when Steph Curry hits for 46. He dropped 46 last night as the Warriors stunned the Spurs. By the way, Draymond Green on Victor Wembanyama, that was worth the price of admission just on that alone. What a great, great game that Draymond played last night. What an absolute feast for the senses Victor Wembanyama is. You cannot take your eyes off that guy in a basketball court. You've never seen anything like that guy. Moody, good night. Buddy Hield is, you know, a challenge. You know, but here's the thing. When Buddy Hield's shot is falling, I like Buddy Hield. When Buddy Hield's shot is not falling, please get him off the court. So I don't know much about what the Warriors' plans are tonight, but I do know that the words Tex-Mex will be used. They got a night off in San Antonio before they play the Spurs again tomorrow. So there you go. By the way, let me just say, the San Antonio throwback court that the Spurs had out there last night, I wish they'd get all that like Tex-Mex sort of art out of the not the lane or the key, but the arc. I don't like all those little like jingle jangle things on the court, but the pink and the old Spurs color scheme, it looked fantastic. It really did. There's some nostalgia there. The Spurs should go back to that full time, that court full time. My son, Jack, last night was watching and he goes, "Dad, I like that court." And he's like, "I like how their uniforms match that court." I'm like, "Yeah, son, that's the way basketball should be. You shouldn't look like a visiting team on your own court." Basketball screwed up its court combinations and letting guys wear all sorts of colored, different colored shoes. And it's just like, can we get some uniform in our uniformity? God, I just saw Rich Rodriguez, who's coaching West Virginia, saying that, like, you know, what are all these players wearing all this stupid shit that you don't need to wear just for fashion sense? Like, come on. Now, I'm a big believer in look good, feel good, play good. But he basically saying, like, if you're a dude out there and you're wearing one leg, like a sleeve on one of your legs and not the other, and the sleeve went on your one leg, not because a trainer told you to wear it to stabilize it, but because you think it looks cool. Like, quit being an Angel Reese, he said. Quit being a diva. Quit wearing one leg sleeve because you think it looks cool. Amen. Amen. What are you wearing one pantyhose for? You either wear your pantyhose or take them off. Nikola Jokic, kids, is on one right now. I mean, the Denver Nuggets last night, they put, first of all, Jokic at 55, and the Nuggets put it on the Clippers. They've won six in a row, and Jokic has just been on a roll. He's the first player in NBA history to average a 35-point triple-double while shooting 60% or better across a six-game stretch. So Jokic has just had one of the best six-game stretches in the history of recorded basketball. Guy is just unbelievable. He really is. Nobody makes it look easier. Just nobody makes it look easier than Jokic. It's like he's not even out there trying hard, and he's putting up double nickels. The Thunder, after rolling the Warriors, rolled the Lakers last night. Dude, the Thunder don't even have, Jalen Williams yet? And they're 12-1. They look like a monster. They really do. Finally, one of the only teams that looked like it could be even a threatening team, much less a monster, coming out of the East, got some bad news last night. Haven't seen any updates yet, but the Knicks, they lose to the Orlando Magic. That's not the news, though. The news is that Jalen Brunson left the arena in a boot and on crutches. It is the same ankle that forced him to miss 15 games last year. So, Basketball season is officially underway. You got guys rolling ankles. You got guys on crutches. You got Jokic putting up a historic effort. And here's the deal I'm going to make with you Warriors fans. I think I know how this ends. I'm not going to bring up the anxiety of I think I know how this ends every time they do something fun. I'm going to enjoy Steph Curry. Here's the thing. They're either going to trade him to fix the Warriors' future, or they're going to just go down with the Steph Curry ship. I guess either way, I'm cool with it. I am. If you're telling me that this all doesn't end in playoffs, but I get to watch every bit of Steph Curry's career, I will figure out a way to make that enjoyable to myself. But you could still get something big if you flipped Curry right now. You really could. And it's the last time you're going to be able to do it. They're not going to do it. I don't think they should do it. But a heartless killer of an owner maybe would do that. I don't think you can trade Steph Curry, though. I don't think you can trade Steph Curry and show your face in public again if you're Joe Lacob. Like, you're going to get Nico Harrison if you trade Steph Curry. Yeah, Horford is pissing me off trying to be patient. Well, that can I tell you, chemistry. You know, it's great. He might be a good player for them, but a guy who's unavailable on back-to-backs, it's just we haven't even really gotten to know Al Horford yet. I'll give him a chance still here, but yeah, there's not a lot there yet. Spurs ball is big out there for sure. Dude, Victor Wembanyama is just unlike anything we've seen, including Victor Wembanyama last year. This guy's taller. This guy's bigger. Did you see the stat that basically said through the first 100-plus-ish games of his career, wherever he is now in his career, that Victor Wembanyama he scored more than LeBron. He's hit more threes than Curry. He's pulled down, more rebounds than Patrick Ewing and has blocked more shots than Hakeem Olajuwon. This guy is a level of full package that we've never seen. It's something else. It really is. Speaking of Curry, J49 says, I will go down with this ship. Yeah, I mean, look, I get it. And, dude, Draymond playing Wembanyama is just a clinic in why Draymond Green is a special basketball player. It's just this, he is. Draymond Green is a lot of things. Frustrating, mind-numbingly unaware of himself or how to control his own body at times. He's all of these things. I've said, whatever your opinion is about Draymond Green, you're right. You're right. He is all of the things that you say he is. And a Hall of Fame basketball player. He's special. Yeah. Damon looking a little unkempt. I like, again, it's the frizz. It's the frizz today. I don't put much schmutz in my hair. Today I put no schmutz in my hair. And this is what you get, the salad. Oh, and hey, look, you got Sammy checking in. Sorry to miss this week. Go Birds. I'm sorry that you missed this week too, Sammy. One of the things I wanted to talk to Sammy about was what is happening with the San Jose Sharks and what is happening in Philadelphia. First of all, the Philadelphia Flyers are the first NHL team to officially declare a fish night. The P Fish from Vermont. They're going to do a fish night. Trey Anastasio grew up a Flyers fan in New Jersey. So they're going to have a fish night. Sammy, I'm going to need you to use your NHL postgame connections and your Philly connections to get me whatever the swag is. I need a fish night giveaway. What are they giving away? I need one of those. And that is how we spell Flyers on fish night. Absolutely. Wouldn't it be cool if they came out with a Flyers jersey with a PH? That would be the coolest shit in sports. That really would. Here's the thing. I'm going to need, Sammy, if you're still watching, I'm going to need a throwback Ron Hextall PH Flyers jersey. Sammy, I'll have to grab one of those for you, sure. Thank you very much. So it's Tex-Mex night for the Golden State Warriors in San Antonio. They're not playing tonight. We do have Thursday night football. That happens tonight, but we got the Warriors tomorrow. We're going to see what college basketball is on. If you have not checked out the Sharks, tonight's the night to do it. Wouldn't you say, Ralph?
Go Sharks.
Macklin Celebrini is only 19 years old.
Go Sharks.
Macklin Celebrini has 26 points in 17 games so far here in his second NHL season.
Go Sharks.
Macklin Celebrini is now tied for the fewest games to reach 26 points by a teenager in NHL history, with Sidney Crosby and Wayne Gretzky. Whenever you're tied in hockey with Wayne Gretzky and Sidney Crosby, that's not bad. Macklin Celebrini doing some great one shit. Some Wayne Gretzky, Sidney Crosby start to a season for a teenager. 26 points in 17 games. We got Sharks. We got Calgary tonight.
Go Sharks.
Flames might be the worst team in hockey. They only got 10 points. The Calgary Flames stink. The San Jose Sharks are in a full rebuild that is officially going a little bit faster at the beginning of this season than anybody might have expected, and it's because of Macklin Celebrini. Go Sharks! Go Sharks!
Let me tell you, Joe Thornton, very nice guy. I heard that me and Tate wanted to come up and sit on the glass in Calgary. We went up to the Saddle Dome. We had a very nice time up there. We did some sushi. You know, we're pescatarians. We're not quite, you know, we're vegetarians. We're pescatarians. And we do anything with no steak or red meat, but we went up to Calgary. We had a great time on the glass. Go Sharks!
Try him on for size tonight. Sharks, Flames, 6 o'clock face-off. There ain't shit else on TV other than Thursday night football tonight. Enjoy. Enjoy some Sharks hockey tonight. And maybe we'll put a thumbnail of Macklin Celebrini up for tomorrow and make sure nobody watches. But I'm going to start paying attention. I really am. I have. I haven't talked about it much. Sharks got a little something to pay attention to. Just going to throw that out there. Oh, finally, the only other thing that's really kind of happening in sports tonight is big postseason awards officially get handed out tonight by Major League Baseball. We got Scooble and Skeens, your American League and National League Cy Young Award winners. Zero surprise there. Scooble now has back-to-back Cy Youngs, and Skeens, again, you cannot start a career better than, hi, in my rookie year, I'm rookie of the year. And then in my second year, I'm Cy Young. That is a tough thing to do. By the way, Nick Kurtz of the A's won the American League Rookie of the Year a couple days ago, but of course nobody saw him play a single inning of baseball because the A's are unavailable for consumption by the public because of how bad they are run. But Nick Kurtz, unfortunately, in total anonymity, won Rookie of the Year, and he was awesome. But you never even saw him play because that's how bad the A's are at marketing anything they do, anywhere they play. They'll fuck it up in any city. They will figure out a way to make an American League Rookie of the Year candidate irrelevant to all of us while it's happening. Turn off replies. That's a great way to run an organization. It really is. So we got MVPs announced tonight. What, Cal Raleigh and Aaron Judge? It's between the two of them, and just give it to Shohei in the National League. So it's going to be an interesting night in baseball. But you want to talk about something that's changed in my lifetime about sports? When we used to learn the identities of the Cy Young Award winners, your American League MVP, your National League MVPs, when all of this would come out in my childhood, it was a real big deal. It was a real big deal. Who is baseball's MVP? This used to really, really matter. It'll be out of the news cycle by noon tomorrow. We will learn the MVP's name tonight in both of our leagues, and by tomorrow at noon, it will be out of the news cycle. Major League Baseball, what happened to you? The only other thing that has gone from, man, this was a really, really, really big deal when I was a kid, to people don't even really pay attention to this shit anymore at all, is the Heisman Trophy. Real quick, who was last year's Heisman Trophy winner? Don't look it up off the tip of your tongue. If at any point in time you had walked up to me in my childhood and said, who won the Heisman Trophy last year? I would have been able to answer that. Who won the Heisman Trophy last year? Can you even remember? It hardly gets any run, hardly gets any mention. Hold on, hold on. I gotta love, got to love Vince Vargas. Nick Nash won the Heisman Trophy. Go Sparty. It was Travis Hunter, by the way, in Colorado. It was Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter, whose season's already been shut down. Unfortunately, he's on IR now in Jacksonville. But yeah, Travis Hunter. That used to be such a bigger deal when I was a kid. And what's funny, too, is there is no doubt that Major League Baseball does no longer enjoys the status that it used to when I was a kid. Major League Baseball, to the overall general sports conversation as it stands right now, means less today than it did when I was a kid. College football does not live in that world. College football feels like it's covered and matters more now before than ever, even though they've torched their own tradition and conferences, and it's a whole new thing. But the attention is massive. It's odd that as we pay more attention to college football almost than ever before, the Heisman Trophy seems to mean less and less than ever before. Barry popping in and getting, my Grizzlies suck this year. Ja is so disappointing. Dude, Ja Morant is just never going to grow up. I don't know. Are they going to trade him or not? I mean, it feels like it's the beginning of the end for Memphis and Ja. Does it not? I don't know. Either way, it is officially the beginning of the end of today's live stream. If you would, my good friends, if you would, please go ahead, like and subscribe. Go ahead and take care of all of our sponsors. That's a great way to take care of me. You start with my man right here, Ike of Ike Sandwiches. Thank you so much to Ike. You get yourself to the Dubliner West portal. You go ahead and you download that Sleeper app and use promo code Damon for $100 deposit match up to $100 on the link that is right in the top of the description of this live video, right down there, right down, boop, right there. Go ahead and click on all of that, and we will have our picks for this weekend's game announced before we begin our live stream on Sunday. So that's why I need you to click like, subscribe, and notify so you will be back for our live stream watch party between the 49ers and Cardinals this upcoming weekend, and you won't miss a thing whether we put it up, whether it's a short, a video, another live show. You will get it all if you hit that notify button as well. So thanks very much for doing all of that. And let us now get to the beginning of the end of our show with Today in History. Oh, I got to turn this little, I had a little space heater on. The space heater did its job. This spot is hotter than it was before. Happy 78th birthday to Joe Mantegna. Not Montana. Mantegna, the actor. I remember the very funny Saturday Night Live, what he hosted Saturday Night Live, and they did a whole skit about a class of kids being excited to meet Joe Montana, and Joe Montana walks into the kid's classroom. That was good. Joe Montana, 78 years old. Ladies, you know you fell in love with him, and I even got to admit, that's ruggedly goddamn handsome. Mr. Big, another big turn on, of course, Law and Order. Chris Noth, 71 years old today. Chris Noth, 71 years old. He's on first team all handsome. Chris Noth was definitely that. Whoopi Goldberg is 70 years old today. Happy birthday, Whoopi. Jimmy Kimmel, 58 years old today. Happy birthday, Jimmy Kimmel. And Gerard Butler, another guy that I think a lot of women would place on that first team all handsome team. Gerard Butler is 56 years old today. Happy birthdays all around. One of the most famous quotes officially penned today in a letter that Ben Franklin wrote to Jean-Baptiste Leroy. In 1789, Benjamin Franklin wrote, quote, "Nothing is certain but death and taxes." I mean, come on. That is stuck around since 1789. When shit you're writing in 1789 is still relevant in 2025, you nailed it. There's a reason why Ben Franklin's name is still used these days. He was smart. He did things. Today in 1940, Walt Disney released Fantasia. That was, you know, the first time anything that trippy, I think, was ever produced, maybe in animation, right? Fantasia is a trip. You got your dancing hippos, you got your Mickey Mouse and the sorcerer, with the wizard's apprentice. With the marching mop buckets, it's great stuff, right? I mean, if you've never smoked a bowl and watched Little Fantasia, what are you even doing in college? What are you doing? Today, in 1947, the Soviet Union completed the development of the AK-47. Why is it called AK-47? Is it because Andrei Kirilenko wears 47? No. It's because it was made in 1947. Usually, if you see a date attached to something, that is the year it was invented. And all I can tell you is that, you know, the Soviet Union might have developed the AK-47, but it was Compton that what made it famous, right? I mean, AK-47 is the tool. Don't make me act a motherfucking fool. Professor Cube, thank you very much. Today in 1956, the Supreme Court of the United States declared that Alabama laws requiring segregation buses illegal, thus ending the Montgomery bus boycott. Supreme Court decided that today in 1956. I don't know if the same Supreme Court today would rule on that or how they would rule on that, which is a problem, don't you think? By the way, how is it in the world of pedophilia protection? You guys doing good over there? All I can tell you is stand on your fucking ground. That's your boy. Shit's getting real. Today in 1974, Karen Silkwood set out to meet a reporter. She was going to go public with evidence of nuclear power plant safety violations, and Karen Silkwood was found dead in her car on a California highway with all of her damning files gone. What happened? It was a movie called Silkwood, by the way. Really good movie. Really good movie. If you've never seen Silkwood, and if you don't know where the phrase Silkwood shower comes from, you'll see the movie Silkwood and you'll get it. It's a good movie. You've got a very young, bearded Michael Douglas in Silkwood. Today in 1982, So when you do have enough pride in our country to want to make a return trip to Washington, D.C., and that feels like a proud, good thing to go do again, the most powerful thing you will do when you are in Washington, D.C., is visit the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. My dad fought in Vietnam, so I had heard about the wall. You don't realize how freaking big it is until you actually see it, and you realize what 58,272 dead soldiers' names look like, all printed out. But it's there, and it's powerful. And today it opened, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, today in 1982. Also today in 1982, oh, by the way, I like to go in chronological order here. I forgot one. In 1980, Raging Bull came out tonight. Raging Bull came out tonight. You had one of the great performances ever by Robert De Niro. Joe Pesci is great in Raging Bull. But Scorsese's masterpiece, today in 1980, came out. Finally, today, also in 1982, I remember this, and some of you who liked boxing growing up, you probably remember this too. Today in 1982, Ray Mancini beat Duk Koo Kim in a boxing match. The reason why Duk Koo Kim's name went down in infamy is because 4 days later, after taking his beating by Ray Mancini, he died. It's one of those literal, you can be beaten to death in a boxing ring. And he was. He died 4 days later on November 17th. But today was the big fight with Ray Mancini that led to what, internal bleeding, brain bleed? Not good. Either way, boxing's dangerous, kids. Look out. Contact sports are dangerous. Especially if what you're making contact with isn't a ball, but a boxing glove to your own head. I knew a guy who coached hockey back in the day, said, look, you got a lot of contact sports out there. Hockey is a collision sport.
Go Sharks!
So we'll be watching a little collision sport and a little Macklin Celebrini and the Sharks tonight. We'll talk a little bit about it tomorrow, but there's something that's going to be on your TV. So enjoy. Thank you so much for enjoying this show. I certainly hope that you did. Again, like, subscribe, hit notify, all of those good things. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. I really, really appreciate it. And hopefully you plan on being back soon. Thank you very, very much. Oh, how about this? Jamie, on the way out, just a little for the ganja jar. It says, Damon, you go indica or sativa. To me, there's no difference. Weed is a light switch to me. It's either on or off. I honestly have never been able to like, oh, this weed made me felt this high, and this weed made me feel that high. No, it's just you high or not. That's it. It's a light switch. So I don't care. I don't care. But thank you. And I feel like I've overshared. Thank you very much for hanging out today. And please do remember, sports don't build character. They reveal it. Hold on. Let me get this out. Boom. Thank you. And like that, he's gone with his frizzy hair. All gone.